Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, friend and brother true. Oh, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for you. Jesus, priceless treasure of my heart. In your arms I'm resting, all my foes are fleeing, none can touch me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, sin assails me, Jesus will not fail me, Jesus, priceless treasure of my heart. Oh, Jesus, my treasure, take my
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings from Charlotte. And Happy New Year. This is the first time that we've been able to see you folks since beginning 2019. You'll turn with me for our first reading to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I remember back in January of 2018, so roughly 1 year from this month. I'm the first of four siblings, and my sister, the second in our family, started texting me and saying, are you going to come to Mission BC? And I said, why? And they said, well, it's Mom and Dad's 60th wedding anniversary. Really? Up to that point, I was feeling like a young man. And I suddenly realized what my age was if they were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. We sprung a surprise on them. They did not realize that all four of us siblings were going to be in the same house together at the same time. We were actually rehearsing, well, are we ready to call 911? Because we did not know how they were going to react. It was an awesome celebration. And now today, a little over nine months after my parents were married, 60 years later, I now reach this milestone. And I've been reading some of Alan's memoirs, and, you know, what, 81 now? 82. Anyway, all joking aside, I had the most graphic 60th birthday wake up today. I opened up the closet and my trousers were not there. Thank you for having us here today despite some malfunctions. Well, with a little levity behind us, let's take a look at God's Word. And this is the beginning of 2019, and the primary purpose of this message this morning is one of great encouragement. Great encouragement. We have a world that is really mind-boggling. The things that are going on are just mind-boggling. And yet we have so much hope in Jesus Christ. So for the first reading this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning at verse 50, it says, "But now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And this perishable shall put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain." Keep your finger in there, but turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here we are going to read a companion passage covering the same topic, but with additional information. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our God and Father, as we approach these two texts of Scripture, we ask that you would awaken our spiritual hearts again to realize that our beloved Savior is perhaps minutes or hours away from calling us up to be with him. We ask that as we consider these things, that our hearts would be encouraged and warmed and warned at the same time. We offer up this time of consideration into your care, asking that you would bless our thoughts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I remember as a youngster in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, my father was an avid sportsman, enjoying hunting and fishing, and every once in a while, he would announce at the supper table, "Okay, Glenn, how about two Fridays from now? Let's load up the camper trailer and the canoe, and let's go up to Angling Lake." Oh, Angling Lake. Northern pike, pickerel, like you couldn't imagine. Do you think that I sat there, "Oh, great, I have to go fish"? No, no, no. I was absolutely thrilled with the prospect of going fishing. But it wasn't just the fishing. It was spending a weekend with my father. That was special. Well, you can imagine, a little guy, I was grade 2, and I pestered my mother to death that day because I took it upon myself to prepare the camper trailer so that Dad, when he got home from work, didn't even have time to eat supper because we were going to go fishing. Well, that never worked out. Dad always had supper. But the camper trailer, you can imagine, it was one of these units that had the solid sides, and you would use cranks and lift up the roof. Then you would have a canvas side, and the door was what would give you the access. Well, here I was, crawling in there, bringing in the food, bringing in the sleeping bags, bringing in the rain equipment, the fishing rods, the tackle boxes, all in preparation for that. I was demonstrating something that's really important when we're considering this passage here. I, as a second grade, third grade youngster, I was absolutely enamored with the fact that in a few hours, I was going to go on a trip with my dad and catch some of the biggest fish that I could ever remember. I remember one trip, 36 inches was the smallest we caught. The rest we threw back. How do we do as believers with what we have just considered today? Now, the struggle that I have, I'm talking to me, but I'm hoping it brushes over to you. As a youngster, I had a date in which I knew my dad was going to come back and we were going to go. But in the passages we read here about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't give us a date. He doesn't give us a time. For us here in Myrtle Beach, it might be at midnight or it might be at breakfast. We don't know. And unfortunately, one of the things that we struggle with as believers is we get desensitized to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. And we tend to forget that. And I think one of the reasons we tend to forget that is our world goes ahead and it has put its influences on us. And we'll discuss that just a little bit. But let's just reflect for a second on a couple of the details that come out of here. Again, if you've got your finger in the two passages, we're going to flip back and forth for about just 1 minute. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I'm not even going to begin to explain this except to say, you're not going to have any time to prepare for it. When it happens, it's done. In a twinkling of the eye, this is going to be an event taking place. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says that the Lord himself will descend. Oh, brothers and sisters, I absolutely cherish this phrase because I have never seen Jesus Christ's face. I have never seen the nail prints in his hands. I don't know what he looks like. And yet, he himself will be descending. I am going to meet Jesus Christ, who is my beloved Savior. Doesn't that begin to excite you again? Doesn't that warm up your thoughts that we're going to be able to hear or to see the Lord? Again, in verse 16, it tells us also that the Lord will shout. I don't know what the sound of his voice is, but I'm going to be paying close attention. And thankfully, for all of eternity, I will enjoy that. It also talks about the voice of the archangel. You can get into challenges with the language there. Was he shouting with the proclamation, the sound of the voice of an archangel, or was there also the voice of the archangel? But the point is, there's going to be an announcement. Not only that, in verse 16, it also tells us that the trumpet of God is going to sound. I don't know who's going to hear it that day. I don't know if this is going to be an event like Paul on the road to Damascus, where he saw the Savior and the others were all baffled with what was going on, or other instances where communication between God and an individual took place and they said, oh, it sounded like thunder. It's not going to be confusing for us that know Jesus Christ. We are going to hear his voice. We're going to hear the trumpet of God. And you're only going to have the twinkling of an eye to understand that that effect is taking place. Also in verse 17, it tells us what's going to happen. Or verse 16, I'm sorry, tells us what's going to happen. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. We have some indications from the scriptures of individuals that have been raised from the dead. But as Corinthians tells us, this is going to be a resurrection unlike any of those others. Lazarus was raised up from the dead, but he went back to the grave later. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we will be changing mortality for immortality. That means when this job of change takes place, it's non-reversible. It's forever and ever. Well, lest we feel as ones alive left out of the event, verse 17 tells us that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so that moment is going to take place. Those beloved that have already been have passed the waters of death and are in the grave, they're going to be raised up with immortal bodies, and we are going to be right behind them. We are going to be right behind them for what? For what? Again, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. And then it tells us there, thus we shall always be with the Lord. I've never seen him. I've never heard him. But he has made this promise that the day is coming when in an instant these events will take place. And I'm excited to think I'm going to be able to see his face and see his hands and see his feet. I'm going to be able to hear his voice. And I'm going to be able to spend all of eternity with him. I'd like to consider a couple things and then make an application from it. First thing is, these passages really bring up something that we all wrestle with on a daily basis today. The first point is mortality. Mortality. How many of you woke up this morning and you had some ache or pain? Oh, I see some hands. I hear some chuckles. You know, we are unbelievably fragile as human beings. I often sit there and wonder how I ever survived as a youngster. One classic example that I think of is the time that when I used to train for racing 10 speeds, I, in the streets of Toronto, always loved to get behind the TTC, that's the Toronto Transit Commission buses. And I could time them perfectly. I knew when they were going to hit the brakes because they were getting ready to go into the next bus stop. But I would, what we call draft. I'd get behind that bus, and there'd be this cone of vacuum of calm air that would just suck you along. And my goodness, if he was going 45 miles, I was going 45 miles an hour. And I remember one time training out in the back hills, and I saw this milk truck coming, big tanker truck. And I thought, oh, man, I'm about the right spot. He's going to slow down coming up to the top of this hill. I'm going to draft a milk truck. And I got behind that guy, and I don't know, except for the grace of God, why I am here today. Because I suspect he was probably going 55 down that hill. I had never in my life ever gone that fast on a bike before. My spokes were singing. Every movement of my wheel sent my tail or my back wheel just swinging. And I wanted to get out, so I start hitting the brakes, and all of a sudden you start hitting that rough air that's been percolating at the back of that truck. I just had to ride it. And it seemed like an eternity, and finally he hit the next hill and slowed down, and I got off the side of the road, and I shook. We are mortal. It doesn't take much to knock us out of the picture at all. Just a couple quick statistics here. In 2018, it was estimated that we had 2.6 million recorded deaths in the United States. And 75% of those recorded deaths are related to ailments that and events that occur in our lives. Here's just a couple. Number one, health disease. One in four people in the United States will die due to health disease. Cancer. And I've got a list here of all of the things that you don't want to be doing in life because they are related one way or another to cancer. Well, that's a dangerous place to live, planet Earth. There are other things, accidents listed as number four, strokes as a result of high blood pressure, number five, diabetes, number seven, suicide, number 10. The one thing that was most remarkable is there's one death category that was never mentioned, and it contributes a huge number. That is abortion. Abortion in the United States in 2018 took the lives of over 700,000 infants. I would put that as number one in the list of deaths that are out there for humanity. All that put, we are mortal. And that's why, in one respect, selfishly, these verses in Corinthians and in Thessalonians excite me, because the aches and pains that I have, the vulnerability that I have, one day are going to become history, because with the work of God, this perishable body is going to put on the imperishable. This mortal flesh is going to put on immortality. And even more exciting, other passages of Scripture, the sinful nature that's in this flesh will be eradicated for eternity. I will no longer have the distractions that are associated with being mortal. So it excites me when I take a look at these verses that Paul penned. There are very few other locations in the Scripture that this is introduced, and yet it is so wholesome, so strong, and with so much in view to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face, hear his voice, spend eternity with him, with new, immortal, imperishable bodies, so that I can do it for all of eternity. Second point that I'd like to encourage us to think about is a combination of opposites: uncertainty and certainty. I could probably go around here and point to some of the ones that have brought some food for today and say, what are we going to eat here in the next few minutes? And you're going to say, yeah, that's right. Oh, really? How do you know that your heart is going to be beating in the next couple of minutes? I hear a couple of chuckles. Isn't that true? So much of our life is spent with anticipation for the future, and yet the Creator of the universe is the only one who knows that you will have breath in your lungs and a heart beating in your chest. He's the only one that knows. And so we could go into many examples here. For the sake of time, we won't. Our life is absolutely filled with uncertainties. How many are certain they have enough for retirement? I see a lot of retirement people here. You know, you could have $2 million for retirement and have one ailment and wipe it out in just a few months. Oh, that's uncertainty. How do you know that you're going to have food in the next 30 days? How do you know you're even going to be breathing in the next 30 days? We are surrounded by a host of uncertainties. I sit there and think, even in our investment world, who ever dreamt that the housing market would peak and then collapse? Everything about investment in housing had to do with the fact that, well, it always improves. Oh, yeah, it has little dips, but it always improves. Do things always improve? Well, the stock market, where your 401k investments are, which are, in effect, a government-approved gambling process, will your 401k be there? Will it always be growing? Uncertainty. We are filled with it over and over again. I sit there and think of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 2 to 6. It's a place where Peter talks about how people will scoff in the last days. And they scoff because they forget that God changed everything with creation. He changed everything with a flood. And one day in the future, he's going to change everything again with the rapture and with the second coming. Uncertainty. And yet I'd also like to encourage you that there are a host of things that we can be certain of. These passages here are something that we can go to bed with certainty on, that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. You can also, with certainty, remember every hair on your head has been numbered. With certainty, you can know that every star is known by name. With certainty, we can look at Colossians and find out that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of holding all of this creation together. The only reason all of us are here today is because Jesus Christ is still holding all of our atoms together. Without his power, we would have nothing. We can be certain in his power and his plan. The final point that I'd like to encourage us with a little bit this morning is focus. So we've taken a look at mortality. We've taken a look at uncertainty contrasted with certainty. I'd like us to focus a little bit this morning. I knew when my father was coming for that fishing trip, and I made preparations for it. Ladies especially, if you know that you invited somebody over for a meal at your house, don't you take a little bit of time to kind of straighten things out, vacuum the house, put the laundry up that the husband leaves on the floor, and things like that? If you know that it's coming up, don't you take steps to prepare for that arrival? It is really hard to keep our preparations at the peak when something is unknown as to when it's going to happen. The second coming we can tell because the second coming is going to occur 7 years after the Antichrist makes his agreement with Israel. So when you see that, or we won't see that, but when the world sees the Antichrist make that agreement with Israel, you can start the clock. 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to come and his feet are going to come onto the Mount of Olives and he's going to change everything in this world like has never been seen before. But for all of us, he's never given us a date for this event, when we will hear his voice, hear the trumpet of God, and suddenly be caught up to be with him in the air. Focus. On one hand, it's exciting because my mortality is going to be replaced with immortality. It's exciting because I'm going to be able to see my Savior face to face and hear his voice. But you know what? It's also very, very sobering. I remember one time when I was in aviation training in Elizabethton, Tennessee. An aircraft was with a student getting ready to taxi out to the runway to take off. And when we parked the aircraft on the ramp, we always put these yellow chalks on either side of the wheel just to prevent the plane from rolling when it was being unattended to. And it had a nice little rope, and you would pull the chalks out after you put the parking brake on, go to the baggage compartment, throw the chalks in, and there was a little latch, and you would snap it on there so that they wouldn't come and visit you while you were flying. Well, there were three of us, and we were standing there at the open door at the hangar, and we saw the student prepare to get in, and guess what? He forgot to pull the chalks. You can start that airplane up. You might be able to get over them, but the bottom line is, the student really isn't going to go anywhere. And there were the three of us going, oh, isn't this funny? And all of a sudden we heard this voice. Guys, what's going on? Oh, my goodness. It was Mr. Van Dam. He was the director of the program. He walked up behind us. We had been caught. And we had egg on our face. You know what he did? He didn't reprimand us at all. He just walked past us, went out to the airplane, shook the wings so he got the student's attention, showed him, just hold on, walked up to the wheel, pulled the chocks up, went back to the storage window, clipped them on, closed it, and then walked away and waved. Oh, the student didn't have to shut down. How do you think I felt? I wanted to find a crack in the floor of the shop and disappear. How are we doing today, knowing that in 5 minutes Jesus Christ might come? Are we evaluating our lives in a way so that we are perpetually prepared to meet our Savior? What about those times that maybe you're in the house and you don't think anybody's watching? How would you feel if suddenly you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming? I think we would live our lives differently. It's also sobering from the fact that we know that in 2 Corinthians and in 1 Corinthians, there's what is the judgment seat of Christ, a time where fire is going to test our works. Gold, silver, precious gem, or are there the wood, hay, and stubble? I would like to encourage us as we go into 2019, let's keep evaluating ourselves on a minute-by-minute basis and say, is it gold, silver, precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? Brothers and sisters, I'll admit to you as a human being on planet Earth, child of God, I've got too many things in this category. And yet I have the choice of making sure it's gold, silver, or precious stones. The other thing that's very sobering is when the rapture occurs, a couple things are going to happen. The man of lawlessness is going to be revealed. He is going to be empowered by Satan himself. And God is going to send a strong delusion to all of the people on planet Earth that they would be persuaded to listen to his lies. The gospel's effect is going to have a major change in those that are not caught up in the rapture. So the challenge is, in 2019, how much are we doing to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with? Because once we hear that voice, once we hear that trumpet, and instantly are caught up, We can no longer be that witness. The time is now for us to share about Jesus Christ. Again, just in closing, wrapping up this last, how close are we? Oh, there's all kinds of things that we could point to, and that can be a totally different meeting. One of the things that I often think about is Daniel, in Daniel 12, verse 4, talking about closing up the books, but they're going to be revealed in the last times when knowledge will increase. Knowledge is increasing at a tremendous speed. There's a gentleman that created a study a number of years ago. Buckminster Fuller was his name, and he created what still is today listed as a knowledge doubling curve. Knowledge doubling curve. I'll tie it up with just a couple statistics. When he started the curve analysis in 1900, it was estimated that knowledge doubled every 100 years. 48 years later, at the end of World War II, 1948, it was estimated that the knowledge of the world was doubling every 25 years. Today, we've got multiple disciplines, but one area is nanotechnology. Nanotechnology is really, really tiny stuff, and it gets into quantum physics and details there. Read it online. You will be flabbergasted on what is being accomplished at the nanotechnology area. But they're estimating in the nanotechnology area that knowledge in that field is doubling every 2 years. And in the clinical medical world, discoveries of medicines and diseases and treatments, etc., they're now estimating 18 months the knowledge doubles. But here's the one that catches my attention. Internet of Things. How many of you have Fitbits? Okay. How many of you have garage door openers you can use with your telephone? How many of you are monitoring your refrigerator or your thermostat or your security system? Internet of Things, it is estimated that the knowledge that is being attracted from that technology means that shortly we will be looking at a doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. Every 12 hours. Brothers and sisters, I share just a little snippet there. You know what? There's nothing standing in the way of his return. Nothing. There isn't a single prophecy left, if I'm correct, in the Word of God that prohibits him from returning to planet Earth. I need to wake up. I need to wake up because the world wants me to keep putting it off. And my encouragement for you today and for 2019 and going forward is let's get into, again, a posture of remembering that Jesus Christ could come back. We might not even eat. We might be going to glory. We need to also encourage each other because we're forgetful. That's why I love the Lord's Supper. It is to proclaim his death until he comes, because I keep forgetting. Let's remind each other. We might hear that voice. We might hear the trumpet. And we might, in the twinkling of an eye, be in the presence of our Savior. Our God and Father, what a sobering thought this morning to, number one, think of the fact that you are promising to come back. We have that certainty. But we don't know when, and it's really easy as human beings to become really slack and foolish in the way we live. I pray that we would just really seek out holiness in our lives, that we would really seek out a desire to share the gospel, and that we would seek out encouraging each other to continue to look up and listen for that voice, listen for the trumpet, because then we will be changed for all of eternity. We ask for your blessing on the food and the fellowship that we're about to partake, and we thank you for this day that we've been able to fellowship and worship you. Pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.